Okay, I think the next one up is agenda paper 10, is it not? Income tax and indefinite life intangibles.
Thank you. Agenda paper 10 is a new issue related to IS-12 income taxes. This issue relates to the expected manner of recovery of indefinite life intangible assets when measuring deferred taxes, and arises when intangible assets are amortized for tax purposes but not for financial reporting purposes. The submitter asked whether an entity should consider the expected manner of recovery of the carrying amount of an indefinite life intangible asset to be through use or through sale, and identified three views that they have observed in practice. The submission is provided in Appendix B. We conducted informal outreach to gather further information. The responses from the outreach are summarized in paragraphs 14 to 18 of the paper. Most of the standard setters and regulators commented that the issue is not common. However, the accounting firms have noted some diversity in application of the requirements of IS-12. Our analysis of the issue is provided in paragraphs 19 to 28 of the paper. We think that an indefinite life intangible asset is not a non-depreciable asset as envisaged in paragraph 51B of IS-12. Therefore, in our view, an entity applies the general requirements in paragraphs 51 and 51A of IS-12 when measuring deferred tax relating to indefinite life intangible assets. We are of the view that paragraphs 51 and 51A of IS-12 contain sufficient requirements related to the expected manner of recovery of the carrying value of an asset. Consequently, we do not recommend adding this issue to the committee's agenda. The questions to the committee are on page 10 of the paper, and the tentative agenda decision is provided in Appendix A of the paper. Before I hand over to the committee for discussion, I would just like to emphasize or clarify that in the tentative agenda decision, we do not suggest that an indefinite life intangible asset is always recovered through use. We think that such an asset could be recovered through use or sale or both, perhaps in some situations. But an entity concludes that after applying the requirements in paragraphs 51 and 51A of IS-12. So with that clarification, I'll hand over to the committee for discussion.
Bob and then Bruce.
I agree with the staff analysis. I think it was said very well, and I agree with the tentative agenda decision.
Bruce?
I'm in the same camp as Bob. I think the stand is clear. I don't think there's anything ambiguous about it. I think it, I agree with it.
Tony?
3-3. I think it's exactly on point. I think it's what the standard says, and I agree with what Prahalad said at the end. It's not always recovered through use. It's a question of judgment, but you apply the relevant guidance. You don't look at it as if it was a non-depreciable asset.
Reinhardt.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is just really to clarify the wording of the agenda decision to make the point that Prahalad just made right at the end, that it's the you look to what management's expectation is, whether through use or sale or a combination of both, and I didn't get that clear message when I read the agenda decision.
You have some language for us?
I don't at the current time, but I could, I could help. Yeah, it could be arranged, yes.
Okay, if you could pass that on to the staff. John?
The problem I have, I think, is that the paper doesn't address the question that was actually asked in the submission, which is whether the asset should be considered recovered through use or through sale. Most of the people who consider that it's recovered through sale do so on the basis that there should be consistency between the amortization and non-amortization of the asset and the expected manner of recovery, because it talks about recovering the carrying value. And people say, well, if I'm not amortizing the asset, then I'm not recovering its carrying value, and therefore the presumption would be if I'm not amortizing the asset, I must be recovering through sale. So I don't disagree with the paper in the sense that paragraph 51B isn't or shouldn't be applied by analogy. I agree that an intangible asset that's not being amortized, you know, should be considered depreciable. But that's not really the question. The real question is whether my expected manner of recovery on paragraph 51 and 51A should be consistent with the way I charge the asset off to the income statement, or whether I have to have an expectation of sale in order to use the sale rate. And that's where the difference of view actually is. It's actually in the application of paragraph 51 and 51A, not a conflict between using 51B and using 51. And this issue goes back, I think, I mean, it doesn't just apply to the issue of indefinite life intangibles. It also applies to property, plant and equipment, where you might be, the depreciable amount might be, you might have a piece of PP&E carried out with 100, and the depreciable amount is 80. And many people consider 80 is recovered through use, and the 20 residual amount is recovered through sale, because that's the method by which the asset is being charged off against the income statement. The same logic is being applied to non-amortizing intangible assets. And I don't think that question, I don't think we've sort of answered whether that's an appropriate way to look at expected manner of recovery or not. I think, so the paper, I don't disagree with the paper in the sense that 51B is not relevant to the issue, but I think the diversity still exists in the application of 51 and 51A.
Do others share that reservation? I'm not getting any takers. Okay. I have to say, I thought that the decision did divorce exactly the topic you're discussing, that how you charge something to the income statement is, in a sense, not the relevant question. Okay. John?
I mean, I would say if we think that the manner in which it's amortized or not affects your or is relevant or not relevant to your determination of whether it's recovered through use or sale, we should say that in the agenda decision, because we don't say that. All we say is that 51B, I mean, effectively the agenda decision doesn't make any conclusion about how you interpret paragraph 51 and 51A.
Rather than have the uncertainty, does anybody object to the staff trying to develop wording that addresses John's concern?
I suppose I, as staff, am worried about how we go about doing that. And I suppose at least when, and don't get me wrong, I'm not the staff's expert on IS 12, which might reflect my views, and we certainly have people on the staff who are more expert. But I just thought, I mean, to me, when I read the submission, at least the differing views that the submission identified seemed to be based on whether people thought that paragraph 51B was applicable to indefinite life intangibles or not. That was what drove, you know, the view behind view two was based on whether you thought 51B applied, and view three was to say I could apply it sometimes. So I suppose I felt, and what we had read, we had addressed the submission. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's an easy answer then to apply 51 and 51A to work out whether you think your expected manner of recovery is through use or through sale. But I just thought we had addressed the question answered, and to go further than that, at least I would be a bit nervous about, you know, whether we absolutely would be going into interpretive land via an agenda decision on that.
Well, I think, as I looked at it, the sentence that I had focused on was in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, concluding sentence, accordingly, when measuring deferred tax, the entity should reflect the tax consequences that follow from its expected manner of recovery of the carrying amount of the indefinite life intangible asset. I didn't see a link between my expected manner of recovery and whether or not I was amortizing something. Because we have other things that we say, well, we have the question of sale or use that come up, and I think fairly consistently we've said you have to look at what you think's going to happen. Tony?
Yeah, I would have said much the same as Petrina. I thought the question was about whether you applied 51B, and so whether you'd say that this is a non-depreciable asset, and I agree that you shouldn't. My sense is there is always a judgment in applying the rest of the guidance around how you're going to recover an asset, and anything we say beyond that is getting into the judgment that management has to make as it applies IAS 12. So I would rather not go any further with the words.
Okay, Bruce?
Yeah, I guess I'm also just thinking on the fly. I'm not sure about that. I guess what I'd be interested in doing is, I think it's a very valid point John's made. I guess my concern is that are we saying we don't want to do the wording? Because our concern is if we do the wording, this may take us down a path where we actually need to potentially do something more. And I guess if we're saying we think that we do need to do something more, well then maybe we should come back and look at what that more would be.
I'm not seeing it as something more. I didn't think that was what Petrina was saying.
What we're saying is potentially interpretive. And so that's my concern, is if we're saying, hang on, we think we do need to go further, we're saying, well, are we not getting into an interpretive issue on IAS 12? And if we are, that's what I'm saying, that could be the little bit more. We've got to be careful we don't extend an AD into something else.
Yeah, I suppose, and I may be understanding John's points incorrectly, but I thought that John was suggesting we do try to provide some clarity when you're trying to assess whether you think the expected recovery is through users through seal in situations where you're potentially not depreciating or amortizing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would definitely, on my part, I'd feel need more work to be done, just to be careful about.
Let me try before I ask John to tell us what he really said. I thought what John was saying is you can't or you should not have a linkage between your policy with regard to amortization or lack of amortization and the separate judgment you have to make on sailor use. John, is that what you said? Or?
Well, I think that's the question. I think today the agenda decision implies that because you don't use 51B, then you go to 51A, and you would, if you didn't have an intention to sell or an expectation to sell, that you would actually say it's recovered through use. But people today who actually do recovery through sale are not necessarily relying on 51B. They're saying my expected manner of recovery under 51 and 51A is focused on recovering the carrying value. I don't have to have an expectation of sale. Mm-hmm. It's an expectation of recovery. If I'm not amortizing the asset is not being consumed, and therefore, so that's part of the logic that's used there. If people are saying I'm recovering through sale. It's not, so it's, I think we're not answering the question about whether you need to have an expectation that you're going to sell the asset or whether it's enough just to not to be amortizing the asset to be recovering through sale. We don't answer that question, which to me is actually the real, it's really an interpretation question on paragraph 51 that's been asked. And we're answering it in the context of saying, well, 51B doesn't apply because these are not non-depreciable assets. I mean, I agree with that. They're not non-depreciable, but I don't think that answers the question about whether you use a sale rate or a tax rate and whether it's appropriate to have regard to the method of amortization in determining your expected manner of recovery.
I agree we're not answering it. I just didn't think I absolutely agree with everything you said. We're not answering it. I just didn't think we
Well, I don't mind if we don't answer it, because if people just continue doing what they're doing today, that's fine. But not using 51B as the logic, so.
As you're saying, that's kind of the crux of the question here, isn't it?
Well, that's where there are different views. I mean, in my experience of this issue, there are different views on whether you have to have an expectation to sell to say I can use the sale rate, or if I'm not amortizing, therefore I'm only recovering through sale, and therefore I'm entitled to use the sale rate. And there are different views. There are different views between lots of people on that question. And I don't think we answer that question, which is, I don't mind answering it one way or the other, but I don't think this answers it. So I think that difference in practice will continue with this agenda decision.
Well, I guess, I mean, this agenda decision to me isn't really, I mean, I'll be honest, I mean, I think the agenda decision and what we'd said, is it in 51B or whatever, I doubt we're going to get any comment letters saying we think you're 100% wrong on that. I think that's the easy answer. I think what John is saying is exactly to me with the tough answer, with the tough question is on this. We can leave it up.
Well, our choice is, this is a tentative agenda decision, but we shouldn't be launching trial balloons. Should we bring it back in July? Given the staff's discomfort, I'm hesitant to move forward with changing it significantly.
Yeah, I'm nervous about doing that.
So we'll see you in July. But in July, I think we should specifically address the question that John has raised. That's the whole reason for bringing it back. So, all right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Don't plan ahead. Don't plan any vacation for July.
Thank you.